You're listening to All This Talk with Angus Ryok. Thank you for downloading this podcast. Hi there, and welcome to my podcast, All This Talk. What will hopefully be a short but considered weekly discussion on contemporary events, contentious issues, and theories of the world at large. I bet you're wondering two things. Firstly, why, as a university student, I thought I should add to my considerable workload by starting a podcast. And two, who on earth is going to listen to this? Do I really have delusions of forming some Australian version of the Young Turks? I used to say that whatever I wrote on my three blogs was largely for my own purposes, whether it be to practice my writing, reflect on my thoughts, or simply build up some kind of a portfolio. On the one hand, this was always true to some degree. There is no better way to become a good writer than to simply write. John Kenneth Galbraith, when once asked about how he developed his distinctive writing style, said that every day he would try to write one sentence, the implication being that once you start writing one, you invariably wish to write more. Which is all very true. Yet, for me, these reasons also covered up a certain vulnerability of the urge felt every day to talk, to connect, and to discuss the issues of this world, with perhaps the hope that we could change them or at least understand them. I'm no longer an opinionated 17-year-old anymore. I'm a rusted-on ideological 21-year-old. More importantly, I'm an adult in my last year at university, and whether I like it or not, I'll soon be heading out into the real world I keep hearing about. I am capable of making up my own mind, I can vote in elections, and as such, I have a direct responsibility to the society of which I am now a part. This is not to say that I am under any particular illusions. Intellectuals, while potentially influential, are a small breeze in the great hurricane of history. In the midst of a force of events, power structures, and fateful decisions by an elite few, one cannot say with any real conviction that the world is driven by ideas. My admiration for John Maynard Keynes will never cease, but he is profoundly wrong when he suggests that it is only ideas which rule the world. After all, ideas themselves do not exist in any kind of a vacuum, and in many senses indicate more about the world of their origin than anything else. Yet, as an individual, as an Australian citizen, and as a member of the lucky, wealthy 10% of this planet, which we shall reductively refer to as the West, I feel a strong sense of duty to at least talk about these issues that we face, of what is the real cost of our wealth, and how to best establish a more just world. This sentiment is by no means unique. Perhaps the best example is Kennedy's famous claim that, for of those to whom much is given, much is required. An even better example, actually, for it contains none of the aristocratic pretensions of the Kennedy family, is Noam Chomsky, who continually reminds reporters and interviewers the reason why he critiques the US so harshly is simply because it is his country. It is something of which he is part and therefore bears the burden of the responsibility for its actions. We may not change the world by reasoned discussion, but if we are to ride in this planet into ecological, humanitarian, and spiritual doom, then we should at least understand why and how this is all happening. Therefore, I shall not pretend that I only write these essays for selfish purposes. It would perhaps protect my ego a bit more if nobody sees them, from their understandably minimal influence, but would do even less for their cause. I speak these words, for I wish to influence what little I can how this world is constructed, and if that means just educating or even simply arguing with my Facebook friends, then so be it. I told myself at the beginning of this year, shortly after the Newtown shootings in America, that I had had it with this world. I am tired and jaded, far beyond my years. I am sick of seeing the beauty of this world, of the people on this planet, crushed by the hands of a few. These are pompous words, but they're for pompous times, in which we truly fail to appreciate the significance of the events surrounding us. Politics is not some game, it's your health. It's your education. Politics is fixing a pothole in a reasonable period of time. Politics is the exact opposite of entrusting one of two factions of the business party to run your affairs while you try to get on with your own consumerist, soul-destroying lifestyle. The world we live in tries to crush your spirit, reduce your expectations, and kill any spark of creativity you have, unless it helps you design a new app or some artificial sweetener. And even worse, it then proceeds to mock and punish you for your failure. Much like the fictitious god, you are created sick in order to be healthy. The only way to emerge out of this rubble and not turn into a sociopath is to condition yourself with drugs, alcohol, internet porn, sugar, reality television. Sometimes all these things combined. But there is hope. These thoughts are by no means original, and there are many in this world who aren't going to take things lying down. I think we saw proof of this at what's been happening at Sydney University in the last few years. We all stand on the shoulders of giants, and in this endeavor, I hope to raise the level of discussion just that tiny bit higher. I want what Cornel West calls truth, love, and justice. The sense of righteous indignation that makes you realize why Malcolm X thought anger is a gift. What Martin Luther King described as that power that can make a way out of no way. Like King, sometimes I feel discouraged. But ultimately, I remember what is at stake. To quote the man one last time, there are certain things in the world which I am proud to be maladjusted, and which I hope all men of goodwill will be maladjusted. I say very honestly that I never intend to become adjusted to segregation and discrimination. I never intend to become adjusted to religious bigotry. I never intend to adjust myself to economic conditions that will take necessities from the many to give luxuries to the few. And to show that thoughtfulness doesn't just come from stuffy academics in some lecture theatre, I leave you here with Steve Van Zandt saying some of the most truthful words ever spoken, in his refusal to kowtow to the dangerous excesses of the 1980s. Excesses which I am sad to say have yet to be curbed. That's why I speak these words. That's why it's up to us.
Some wild things going on these days. We got something going on in America that's they're calling new patriotism, you know? But it don't look like no new patriotism to me. It looks like blind nationalism, you know? And that ain't right. That ain't what patriotism's all about. It ain't about accepting everything you hear on television and everything your government tells you. That ain't being a good patriot. Being a good patriot means you question every motherfucker, everywhere, every time. Make sure your country stays your country. And it don't mean you stop being a member of the world community either. And it sure ain't about parties, you know, loyalty to the party instead of loyalty to the truth. But if we don't like things, it's up to us to change things, you know? Politics ain't nothing to be scared of, you know? It's just freedom and human rights and democracy. That's all it's about. That's righteous politics. And we're the righteous right here, right? Everybody can sing this song with us. Then we live our own and for the
for the righteous. The river open 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 for the righteous. Someday. I want to run like the lion, release from the cage.